Hey there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer, host of this podcast, and my mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's show, you can show some love back to me by subscribing to the podcast and leaving a rating and review where you're listening right now. I can serve more school leaders by having a better ranking, which is tied 100% to subscriptions, reviews, and shares on social media. In today's show, I talk with Courtney Elmer, and we explore a number of interesting topics like the consequences of work becoming her everything, the mirage of success with things versus success of your soul. And when you walk the talk and live what you preach, your life aligns to the goals. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, let's take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving students' soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hey everyone, this is Stacey Lindis from Podcast PD, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Make sure you check out all of the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hey there, better leaders. I am excited today to connect with a new friend. We met on Instagram, which is a very popular place to meet. And I just liked what Courtney was all about. And so let me introduce her through her bio and we'll hop into the questions. After overcoming cancer at 25, Courtney has made it her mission to show her fellow female entrepreneurs, especially busy moms, how to eliminate stress so they can feel clear, focused, and in control of their life and business. Through private coaching, online courses, speaking appearances, and exclusive retreats, Courtney changes the lives of women by teaching them how to stop feeling overwhelmed and live a more vibrant and fulfilling life. Hashtag stress less and hashtag live more is her motto after all. Courtney makes her home in the fun and funky city of New Orleans with her husband, Alan, and their son, AJ, as well as their fur friends, Ace and Deuce. To learn more about Courtney, visit CourtneyElmer.com or follow her on Instagram at CourtneyElmer_ to learn how to have success without the stress and create a more satisfying life. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Danny. I'm so excited to be here and to chat with you today.
It is a pleasure. Oh yeah, and that brings me back to the Instagram conversations. I think I told you that was one of my favorite cities for me and my wife to visit. We got engaged there and it's just a beautiful, beautiful town. So rich in culture, the food, the music, the fun. Oh my gosh.
We could have an episode probably just about that. And people would probably just be like, oh my gosh, now I got to visit New Orleans. You're right. It's very rich in culture, so much to see and do. And I love that you and your wife got engaged here. I think that's just so awesome. What a great memory that must be for y'all.
Yeah. So let's start with your genesis story and what brought you to what you're doing now and your mission. And I know you have a female entrepreneur focus, but here we're talking to school leaders and you know that, I know that, we all know that, the listeners know it too, but your story and your content really still matters, especially with these ideas of stress and balance. But can you take us on that journey of how you got to where you're at?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started my career in the corporate world of 9 to 5 and was determined to climb my way up that corporate ladder as fast as possible. I knew that I wanted to own a business of my own one day, but I didn't know what that was going to look like. I just knew that I needed some capital for that. And so I thought, you know, the faster I could rank advance, you know, and earn promotions and increase my earnings, I could put that extra money aside towards opening up that business, whatever that was going to be. And so I started working. I was the girl at the office that would go in early and do extra just to be noticed, just to be recognized, you know, staying late. And around that same time, I was introduced by a friend of mine to the network marketing industry. And I was intrigued by that because I was 21 years old and I thought this could be a great way for me to get some good business experience without the high overhead costs of a traditional business and then prepare myself for, you know, owning that business of my own that I wanted to own one day. So not only was I working my 9-to-5 job, I started working nights and weekends with my side hustle. So I did this for a couple of years. And during that time, met my now husband. We fell in love, started planning our wedding. And work very quickly became all that I did. And to the point where I started really losing friendships. I didn't have time for them on my calendar. I didn't have time to get together with people. Hey, you want to grab lunch, coffee, go out for drinks after work? No. I got extra to do. I got this project, this deadline. There was always something that I was working for. And I had a lot of success very early on. I was actually able to walk away from my 9-to-5 job. I was building my network marketing business full time. I had a large team. I earned awesome all expense paid vacations, was driving the luxury car, all the things that from the outside looking in, people would have thought, wow, she's so successful. Her life must be really good. But on the inside, that was not how I felt at all. I actually felt like I was living this double life of sorts, because I would wake up every day and, you know, put on the nice clothes and put the smile on my face and go out in the world and do my thing. But on the inside, I just felt like I was barely holding it together. Like I was spinning my wheels. I hadn't reached the level of success I wanted to have. And I just felt chained to my work. And I was so afraid that if I were to quit or even slack off just a little bit, that I would lose everything that I had built. And because my identity was so wrapped up in my work, that was terrifying for me. And so this all really sent me into this deep depression. And I stayed there for a while. And this was all around the time still that we were planning our wedding, which I kind of threw myself into that just to ignore how I was really feeling inside. And 2 days after we got back home from our honeymoon, I had gone to the doctor's for a follow-up visit from some checkups I had a few weeks before, and was sitting there in the doctor's office and was hit out of left field with a cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And that was eye-opening, mm-hmm. to say the least, because I realized in that moment that I couldn't keep going the way that I was going on this endless cycle of stress and overwhelm and burnout and just really running myself so ragged at the expense of my health, my relationships, all of that, you know, for what? For the sake of a high number on my paycheck, the sake of a title, like what was I really killing myself for? And that was really my wake up call. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could say that was the moment that I turned my life around and everything was like just all roses after that. But as soon as I went through treatment and recovery, the very first thing I thought was, I want to get back to normal. And to me, normal was work. And so I threw myself back into my work, and it was another couple of years before I really realized the work that I do in the world today. Back when I had that diagnosis, that's when the seed was planted, but it eventually grew and came to fruition in the form of the coaching and the speaking work that I do today. And now having finally launched that business that I dreamed of launching one day, never knew that this was what it was going to take shape to be. But wow, how our life experiences really play into the work that we do, and how I truly believe that the work we do in the world is meant to heal us in some way. And for me, that certainly has been true, because now I really have to walk my talk. And so it not only holds me accountable, you know, to staying off that crazy hamster wheel of stress and burnout, but helping other people do the same has really been so impactful for me.
So it sounds like, you know, you get that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you get the diagnosis and you throw yourself back into work. But on that journey, at some point, you do find your why, which is work can't be everything. You know, yes. you didn't necessarily say that, but I know that's in your heart. And it's something that we all struggle with. You know, you're talking about chained. You said chained to my work. Wow, like bondage, right? Mm-hmm. The deep depression and the fact that, you know, what do I do next? And so you throw yourself back into that comfort, which is work. I know the listeners are resonating with that, right? A lot of educators have a very profound why for the reason they do the work, because, you know, education typically doesn't pay that well. And so it's definitely a mission driven sort of field. But the work can consume. And so when I'm coaching school leaders, you know, we talk about that, because here's the thing: at your funeral, it'd be great, you know, if the staff and, you know, colleagues and that kind of thing show up, but is your family even going to show up, you know? And that's like a huge, huge wake up call for them. And so when you notice, Courtney, that you're throwing yourself into the work, how do you break out of that cycle? You know, because it's so natural, and especially for high achievers and the leaders that listen to this show. So we need to get practical and release them from the bondage. How do we do that?
Yes, yes. You've heard that phrase, chained to the golden handcuffs. We're going to break those chains. Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because for me, I'm fortunate that now the work that I do holds me accountable, right? I know that people are watching me. And so that, you know, I'm like, I've got to be living what I'm preaching. But for a while there, especially when I first started my journey to stressing less, I really had to surround myself by people who could support me in that and who could call me out whenever I started to go back down that road. And so the number one person in my life was my husband, Alan. He's been absolutely amazing at that, you know, and he will call me out and he'll slow me down. And it's not to say that, you know, I don't get defensive sometimes and say, well, no, there's a reason I need to be, you know, staying up the extra tonight to get this done or whatever. But it's always that reminder, you know, that reminder. And I appreciate that from him because he has helped me stay on the straight and narrow with that. Because like you said, you know, our tendency, because it feels so natural, is to throw ourselves into our work sometimes. And, you know, that's the thing about being mission driven as well. We have these passions within us. And so, you know, there seems to sometimes be this endless source of energy that comes from within, which is beautiful, that drives our motivation, that drives what we do. But at the same time, we've got to remember that we can't give from an empty well. And so if we're not taking care of ourselves and if we're not tending to our own garden first, then nothing is going to grow. We're not going to actually be able to achieve what we want to achieve in our life and to have the, you know, success, whatever that looks like in terms of impacting lives and whatever that might be, unless we're able to give from what we have. And so we've got to fill our well. And really that reminder is something that I just live by every day, you know, and that's really helped me a lot. Just a simple, practical mindset little piece, you know, just to call that to mind every day that I've got to nurture me in order to give to others.
And what are those things that you do to nurture yourself or to fill your well? What works for Courtney?
Yeah, for me personally, getting up early, this is something that has been on again, off again throughout my life, but I love those wee hours of the morning. My son AJ is 8 months old, so I would say the good first 6 months of his life or so were didn't quite take advantage of those wee hours as we were up through the night quite a lot.
Yeah,
but now that he's sleeping much better, you know. In fact, this morning that was exactly what I did. I set my alarm, got out of bed at 5 a.m. The house was quiet, and I just had that first hour of my day for me. You know, sip my coffee, meditation, prayer, journaling, no phone. That's one thing that I've really been very diligent about in my life is no phone for the first hour of the day, no phone for the last hour of the day. And on Sundays, I put it away as much as possible just to have that space to breathe and to be present in my life with my family, with the people that I love. So those are some of the things that I do that just allow me to refill every day, to recharge and to nurture me so that I can go out, you know, and be the mom, be the wife, and be the leader that I want to be.
Love it. You know, I'm sure you've heard of the miracle morning.
Yes.
So that's something that I've been practicing and I share in my productivity course. But I know that people might maybe hearing this for the first time. So the book is by Hal Elrod. The acronym is SAVERS, Silence, Affirmation, Visualization, Exercise, Reading, and Scribing, which is journaling. And I've been doing that consistently probably 2.5 years. And it's changed everything. And a lot of the school leaders that I coach, they employ that too and see dramatic impact as well. So those are some things that have worked for me. And I'm at a conference, you know, I shared this in the pre-chat. We're recording in September. This releases in January. So I say that because I want listeners to reach out and hold me accountable. I go to this one session on niching down from my really great friend, Derek Champagne, who's just, he's incredible. And I don't have a problem with establishing goals and figuring out focus. But the key question I'm asking now is, are there activities that are creeping into my schedule that don't align with those goals? And can I zap them, right? And is it something that I'm doing just because of the busyness makes me feel good? So the very clear example, and every leader I think can relate, is just checking email too frequently. And I've blocked off time. I've gotten good at that. The folks that know me, they've seen my calendar. I have 2 30-minute blocks that I check during the work week. So the crazy radical idea that I'm toying with is putting on a vacation responder and basically telling everybody, yo, I check email twice a week, not twice every day for 30 minutes, twice a week. And I'll respond to these kinds of emails. These other ones, I'm not even going to look at. And if you're a current client, you know, text me because they have my number if it's an emergency, because I want to prioritize people I serve. So I haven't put it into practice. I'm just sort of spitballing with you. I could show you in my notebook. It's in there. I'm excited thinking about it. You could see me smiling. And I'm wondering how that will impact life, work, productivity, you know, just everything. And I'm just curious what you think of that, Courtney.
I'm smiling too. I think that's a fabulous idea. I really, really do. And to back up a second about the Miracle Morning, for anyone listening, if you haven't heard of that or if you haven't read the book, I highly, highly encourage it. It's fabulous. I had the privilege of meeting Hal a couple years back and hearing him speak and hearing him share his story. Yes, yeah. Yes, he's awesome. And I know he's come out with a book for different industries as well. And yeah, so practical. That's what I love, the practicality of it. So yeah, I just had to give a shout out because I love that book. It's fabulous. And then kudos for being so diligent about that in your own life as well.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And oh my goodness, the email responder. Look, here's the thing. As you were saying that, I immediately thought, wow, if I were to receive that email from you, the autoresponder, right? The vacation response, my initial reaction would be like, huh, I want to do that. That's really cool. I would just have like my level of respect, as high as it is for you already, would go like, whoa, my goodness. Because I think that's something that so many of us crave in our life, is the ability, you know, to be able to turn it off, the discipline to be able to turn it off and tune the outside world out and just focus, you know, and drive ourselves forward in the direction we want to go. But like you said, those distractions creep in. And I forget the exact words you used, but something along the lines of just because being busy feels good.
Right, right.
And you're spot on about that, because we can so easily develop an addiction to being busy without even realizing it. Not only because in our culture, busy has become a badge of honor, but also because it feels good to be doing something, right? We feel purposeful when we're doing. But we got to remember, we're human beings, not human doings. And so, any way that we can kind of block that time out for ourselves, eliminate those distractions or dramatically reduce them, it's only going to help us. It's only going to help us going forward. And so now you have me thinking, I'm like, what can I put in my vacation? How can I do it? Let's do it. We'll hold each other accountable for that.
Absolutely.
I love it.
And listeners, let me challenge you too. I mean, consider what that means in your work. And I know probably half of you have already had a heart attack and you're like, no. I'm too busy, blah, blah, blah. Some of it has to do with ego, you know, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, you're the principal, you got the title, and you like that, and you got the nice salary, you know, whatever. But, and sometimes as leaders too, we feel like we got this hero complex. We like to solve problems or be needed to solve stuff. So do some deep work and check the ego. And then also know the political environment of your district, because they may allow you to do that. You know, what I'm saying to the listeners is just, why not? Why couldn't you do it? So one of my great friends, love her dearly, and she's in the mastermind, Jessica Cabine. This is the principal of the year in Minnesota. And she told her superintendent, you know what? I want to take email off my cell phone, right? And the baby step first, turn off notifications, all the dings, dongs, all that stuff, and the flashing notifications, take them all off. The second level is take email completely off your phone. Of course, you might want to get permission for that. Jessica got it. So the answer always is no unless you ask. And I'm wondering, is there a way to respectfully tell your community your message is really important, you know, and here's when I check email. Maybe it's not the responder, but maybe you do communicate that to parents verbally and your staff, so that they just know when it's important for you to do the deep work, to be in classrooms, whatever that may look like. But we have to pull back a bit from this like instant gratification culture and getting immediate responses. And the other thing too is you disempower people when you're always responding. Like a lot of times people will want you to take action on something and you just give it a little bit of space to breathe and they solve the problem themselves. And that means you could do more important work. Speaking of empowerment and morning routines, I'm curious, Courtney, so what does the end of the day look like in unplugging? Because that's where I'm very focused right now too. So for me, I can take a 30-minute walk. I can meditate. I can read fiction. And that's literally also on my calendar, Courtney. So I'm a big intentional calendar guy. Because what I realized, Miriam would come home from work and I'm high energy. So either high positive or high negative, depending on, there's no in the middle. And I'm like that puppy dog. So when she walked through the door, boom, I hit her with all the good or all the bad, you know, based on how the day was. And I wanted to tone that down a bit. And the reason I need that end of the day routine is because I worked until the second she got home. And then I saw she was home and I attacked. So I'm wondering what unplugging looks like for you and what that routine might be.
Yeah, well, let me paint a picture of what it used to look like versus what it is now. Because used to be, I would come home and I would keep working. I would work through the evening. You know, and my husband, he's the type that would be able to just unwind on the sofa, turn on the TV, you know, maybe watch a show on Netflix, turn on a football game, whatever it might be, and just leave work for a few hours, you know, just tune it out. I couldn't do that because I'm like, well, I'm going to miss something. I have to check email. What if a client tries to get in touch with me? And it was till the moment I put my head on the pillow, you know, checking my phone one last time before bed. And at some point I realized how this was really taking me away from my relationship with my husband, because anytime we say yes to one thing, we're saying no to something else. And just by default, anytime we're committing our time in one area, we're taking it away in another area. So for me, saying yes to checking email at 9 p.m. was saying no to my relationship with Alan. And so that was a huge eye-opening thing for me. And so from there, I've really made an effort that as soon as he walks in the door, I close my computer. You know, that's the first step. Now that we have our son, AJ, he loves it outside. We usually go on a family walk. Evenings are also when I work out. So depending on the day of the week, Alan will get home, computer goes off. AJ is usually awake. Alan will take over with him. I'll go for a workout and come home. We'll do bath and dinner and all that. Or on other evenings, Alan comes home, computer goes off. We go out for a family walk or bike ride, come back, do dinner and bath. And then after that, the way that Alan really enjoys to unplug is just turn on Netflix, watch a show, and to just be, you know, just to kind of let your mind breathe for a minute. And over the years, I've had a hard time with that because I'm like, that's not productive. I should be reading. I should be growing. And all. I'm like, but you know what, Courtney, you can't do that 100% of the time. You know, it's okay to have that little fun and flexibility in there and invite that play into my life. So I sit there with him. You know, we might eat some dark chocolate, have a little dessert.
Yes, Belgian.
And yes, the best. Oh my gosh. You know, and watch a show or two on Netflix. We're watching the new season of Suits right now, which is one of our favorites.
It's a lot of fun. Did you watch the Royal Wedding by any chance because you're a Suits fan?
No, I didn't. I mean, I saw bits and pieces of it, you know, but I wasn't one of those that was sitting there glued to it every day. Gotcha. Yeah.
Cool. Hey, well, listeners, let's pause here for just a second for a message from our sponsors. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. All right, and we're back with Courtney Elmer, and we're really digging in deep and giving practical activities that you could take that, you know, in your life, in your work, mindset shifts in terms of living more and stressing less. And so I so appreciate Courtney being on the show. And in this last third of the podcast, I'd like to ask you about a resource, maybe a book, a video, or a tool that's really impacted your leadership or productivity or quality life in the past year. So what would that be and how did it impact you?
Yeah, awesome question. I'm a big fan of books. I love to read, always have. I was a little girl that would get punished for, you know, putting like a fun book inside of a school book and pretending like I was doing homework. That was me. Yeah. But yeah, I've always loved to read. And so actually there's two books that have been very impactful this year for me. And the first has a crazy name. I had never heard of it, but it was recommended by a coach of mine. And it's called Psycho Cybernetics. And basically, this is the study of how us as humans, we're goal-oriented beings, and how our mindset plays into that, and simple practical things that we can do to enhance our mindset so that we can reach our goals. And a lot of the things that the author wrote about are things that I teach with my clients and things that I speak on. So this entire book just really resonated with me deeply, kind of reinforcing the things that I'm already doing and the things I believe in, and really just giving that practical wisdom and practical advice for strengthening our mindset, mastering our mindset. So highly recommend that. It's been an awesome, awesome book. I have my husband reading it now. I'm like, you got to read this book. So I love that one. And then the other one that was really impactful for me, I chose to start focusing on my money mindset, really mastering that aspect specifically, because it's an area that I really hadn't dove into before, really given time to. And so Jen Sincero's You're a Badass at Making Money has been an awesome book as well. She's got some practical questions that she helps you bust through limiting beliefs and different things that you might have in terms of making money. And at the end of each chapter, these exercises she has you do. And I love books that give you practical steps, right? I'm all about the how-to and the strategy. And so working through that book and actually, instead of just reading it, putting it back on the shelf, doing those suggestions and journaling about some of the things she suggests writing about has been so eye-opening for me and so helpful. I just become more aware. You know, it all starts with awareness and becoming aware of some of the beliefs I had around money and now shifting that and reframing those. That's been really, really good for me as well.
Speaking of awareness, do you do something or I'm just curious, like how do you uncover like the blind spots or how do you build that awareness so then you can, you know, dig into the learning and start doing the activities to make a change?
Yeah, great question, because that's the thing, right? I mean, it starts with awareness, but it's how do we start to cultivate that awareness? And for me, allowing myself space to think has been huge, because so often when we're just going from one thing to the next and we're so busy and we're just trying to check things off the list until we fall into bed at night exhausted and wake up and do it all over again, we're too busy to hear ourselves think. We're too busy to know the thoughts that we're thinking. We're just thinking them. And I think I heard this statistic last weekend at a mastermind event I was at. I want to say, and I might not quote this accurately, but it'll be close. I think there's 80,000 thoughts that we think in a day. And I believe it was 70% of those are negative. And we don't even realize that we're thinking so negatively. You know, we think, oh, I'm a happy person. I'm pretty positive, you know, but there are a lot of the thoughts we think are negative. So we have to slow our roll a bit and actually start to pay attention to the words we're saying, to hear ourselves. What are the words coming out of our mouth? What are the thoughts going through my head right now? You know, as I sat there journaling, just as an example, some of the money prompts that she had me journaling on, I'm sitting here going, I never even realized that I thought this about money. But now that I've allowed myself a few minutes to step back and to listen to what I'm thinking, wow, how eye-opening that was. So the key is allowing yourself that space. Have you ever, this happens all the time to me. I've been in the shower and these thoughts will come, you know, but it's because we're doing something where our body's busy, our body's functioning, but our mind can breathe in that space at 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is. And so it's that same concept, you know, giving ourselves more of that space and starting to pay attention.
Right. You know, a lot of what I've accomplished with Better Leaders has been birthed from pumping iron in the gym, CrossFit workouts, long runs or walks, and shower time. And that's because you're detached from the busyness of life. And, you know, we talk about being intentional, putting white space in the calendar because things are going to move around. And so you have the flexibility to move those things as fires, so to speak, pop up. But, you know, we want our listeners to also be intentional. Why not put a 30-minute block of time on the calendar this week? You know, this is a challenge. Listeners, do this and just have it be a thinking time. No computer, no devices. maybe even just walk around your campus, be somewhere where there's no, you know, people can't ask you for help, and just let your mind wander. It's not a waste of time, you know, because some really great ideas of how you can serve your school at a much deeper level, I guarantee if you start making this a daily practice, will be birthed out of that time. Einstein reportedly has been said to have talked about his problem-solving approach. He says, give me an hour. I'm going to think about the problem for 55 minutes and then take five to solve it, right? And the point is like, you're just allowing your mind to wander, to wrestle with problems. A lot of cognitive stuff. I am not, you know, some cognitive psychologist or whatever. I can't get into the science, but I know the wheels are turning. I've seen it in my life time and time again, when I'm detached, unplugged, it's like the most profound things I come up with, right? And Courtney, I think you'd agree with that.
100%. Absolutely.
And what message? I can't wait to hear this. If you had a school marquee, right, and you could blast out that message to the world for a day, what would that message read?
So there's a quote that I love, and this is one that I live by, and because it's an awesome reminder, and it's a question actually, and it's this: what if we recharged ourselves as often as we did our phones?
Yeah, I'm writing that down right now. So what if we recharged ourselves as often as we did our phones? Where did you come up with that one?
You know, I saw this, I'm sure it was a social media post or somewhere that I saved, and it has just always stuck with me. And now it's something that I use, you know, in my materials and the things that I teach, because it's just that reminder, right? How many times do we plug in our phone? I know for me, it's overnight, every night, 24/7, 365. Well, not really 24/7, 12. You know, but the, you know, that overnight, it's always charged. People plug in their phones 2 and 3 times a day, right? We're always recharging that battery. And so if we think of ourselves in that way, and kind of going back to what I touched on earlier about you can't give from an empty well, you got to recharge. Think if we were to do that. And just like you had said, you know, allowing ourselves that space, those ideas come in that space. Kind of like when you go on vacation, right? You come back and you feel so refreshed and you feel motivated and you just feel re-inspired and reinvigorated. It's the same thing. And so why wait till you have to take a vacation to do that, or to quote unquote take time off? Just build little bits into your schedule every day. And you don't, and that's the thing that I hear so often from my clients. Well, I don't have time. And it's like, it's not about creating time. It's about using the time you have. So maybe to and from as you're driving places, you know, turn the radio off and just let it be quiet space. Like you said, taking 20 minutes to walk around campus, or just a few minutes that you already have in your day. You know, the shower, again, it's a great place. Take a shower every day. That's 10, 15 minutes you have right there that you can just be. And so to practice that. And then soon you kind of become addicted to that. It's like, no, you crave that more, right? You want more space because of the good that does come from it.
Awesome. Well, Courtney, you did it. You knew this question was coming at the end here. Can't wait to hear how you're going to answer this one too. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources at all. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be your top 3 priorities?
So the 3 priorities, you know, this is interesting because I have experience both in, you know, traditional school, going to elementary school, and I was also homeschooled for a good portion of my life. And so I liked the structure that a regular school has, and I really loved the hands-on learning aspect of being homeschooled and kind of just being able to learn from my environment and again, have that space to learn. So I think the hands-on aspect would be definitely a priority, so that every child in that school can have that same experience, right? To be learning from their experiences, not necessarily just learning from a book, but learning from being able and given the opportunities to be hands-on with what they're learning. So that would be number 1 priority for me. Second piece would be empowerment, because I'm all about mastering our mindset and personal growth, personal development. I think, you know, as I look at children growing up, one of the things that saddens me a lot, even as I see, you know, maybe relatives, nieces, nephews, that a lot of the environment that they're in is very disempowering. They're not being taught necessarily to think for themselves. They're not being taught about, you know, their emotions and how that plays a role in their life. And And so just all of these pieces that contribute to their mindset and to whether or not they'll be able to, you know, take that personal responsibility once they are adults. I think just empowering children to become who they've been created to be, that is something that I am all about doing with my own son, AJ, and really giving him those opportunities to quote unquote step up to the plate and to become the great person that I believe he's been put on this earth to be. So really empowerment, it would be a big piece of that. And then the third piece would be feedback, creating pathways for clear communication, because that's another thing that in my own life, in working with other people, in managing people and leading teams, et cetera, has always been kind of the core of things, right? If there's any breakdown in communication and if there's not a good system for feedback coming in, you know, that really constructive critique, then we can't learn. We can't grow. We stay stagnant and we're not able to become, to rise to our potential. And so having those clear pathways of communication and a system for feedback, what that looks like, you know, a structure for ongoing feedback, I think would be really important as well. So those would kind of be my three priorities, maybe a little non-traditional, but definitely things I feel are important.
Appreciate it so much. Courtney, you've been a tremendous guest. Thank you so much for coming on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Tell the listeners, how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah. So easiest way is my website, CourtneyElmer.com. I'm also very active on Instagram. That is one of my platforms where I do teach people how to stress less and live more. And as you mentioned earlier, my handle there is @CourtneyElmer and an underscore behind that. Make sure you put that underscore there and I'll pop right up.
Thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks, Danny, for having me.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof. It encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. And make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.